All right, Heather. When you look at the psukim that I'm sorry, the tfilos that comprise a very important element of the Shemona Esrei in the Yom Noraim, we have additions to the bracha immediately following Mechayim Esim, right? We say Ata Kadosh, Vishimcha Kadosh, and instead of going right to the end as we normally do, Hakela Kadosh or Melcha Kadosh, we insert. I'll try to share it with you so you see what I'm talking about. The additional phrases, because you are Ata Kadosh V'Shimcha Kadosh, you should please place your fear upon all of your creations, all creatures in the world, and the Ema, your Shemayim, the Pachad, should be felt by everyone. Throughout the universe, the Malchus Shemayim should be something palpable, not just for us, not just for Jews, but for all of humanity. All of creation will come together and desire to serve you, B'Lev of Shalom, wholeheartedly. And we continue with that theme. Let there be honor for the Jewish people. Let all Goyim recognize the unique status, the unique mission that the Jewish people have, and they'll want to join, and they'll want to be a part of the purpose that the Jewish people serve in this world. And ultimately, that will culminate with the Simloch Ata Hu Hashem Levadecha Akoma Asecha. You will rule over all of your creations, B'har Tzion Mishkan Kvodecha U'Yishalayim Ir Kodeshecha. In Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, on Har HaBayis, the Beis HaMikdash will be, like we discussed the other day, the worldwide broadcasting station where all of the Goyim, everyone in the world can come and witness your presence in a way that can be felt, and they'll appreciate that the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina allows for the realization that Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, Ha Yehovah V'yeha, and our a purpose in being in this world is to serve Hashem and to bring greatness to His name. That's the theme that begins every Shemona Esrei during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and ultimately concluding with Kadosh Atah V'Nor Shemecha Ve'Ein Elokam Miladecha. There's nothing else besides you. Baruch Atah Hashem Hamel HaKadosh. This theme is something which we replicate and we reinforce more often than we may realize, and it's the core of every Shachris, Kedusha on Shabbos throughout the year. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Mas I timlok b'tzion?" Right? Mimkom chamalkeinu Sophia, come out from your place wherever you're hiding. Mimkom chamalkeinu Sophia b'simloch aleinu ki machakim anachlo. We're waiting for that day. Mas I timlok b'tzion? When are you going to come back to the Beis HaMikdash so all can see you, all can experience what it means for your Shechina to be close to us? That's what we say every Shabbos in Kedusha. A good number of years ago, when I was working as Rosh Kol in a certain camp in the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, so they had a certain policy. The Kolel had a separate minyan from the rest of the camp. Shabbos morning, they davened maybe about an hour earlier than everybody else. So the guys in the Kolel who were also waiters would have time to set up for breakfast after the rest of the camp came from their chakras. And every once in a while, if there was a bunk or there was a division that wasn't cooperating, so their punishment was that they had to wake up an hour early and come to daven with the kolel. And they lost some of their Shabbos morning sleep. Even though it was a punishment, maybe we shouldn't punish people by having to daven, punish people by having to come and increase their avodas Hashem or wake up a little bit early. Interestingly enough, a lot of the kids who got this punishment over the course of the summer came to appreciate the kol of davening more than it was a punishment for them, because it was the only time over the whole summer that they had an uninterrupted davening surrounded by people who took the davening seriously. As long as they were in the camp davening, it was always interrupted every 5 minutes, you know, shushing people, you know, it just became a drag. But then they came to daven with the kol guys, and they were surrounded by people who had a sense of meaning for tefillah. There was one Shabbos in particular where a lot of the kids came in and they were carrying comic books, ESPN magazines, Sports Illustrated, you know, whatever they had in their bunk. And they were looking at the magazines during davening. And, one of the division heads or whatever came and took all the magazines away, put them on the side. and I had a chance to speak in the middle of davening, and I felt it was important to respond a little bit to what was going on, because it's easy if there's punishments or if there's, you know, efforts to maintain decorum, when you shush people, you take away their comic books, even if we're talking about kids, but it may come across as putting people down, as condescending, when in reality, everything that was being done to bring these guys into the Kollel was for the purpose of bringing them up and to encourage them and to strengthen them and to motivate them. And so it needed a little bit of a context, a little bit of a framework. So I said to them, you know, I get it. I get it. Everybody comes from a community back home when you're not in camp, from different shuls. And I'm from one of those communities as well, where it's not uncommon to show up to davening, sit down in your seat on a Shabbos morning in shul, and the guy on your right has the sports pages, and the guy on the left is reading the Wall Street Journal. And that's normal. And for that guy who's got the paper with him, that's what he's doing every Shabbos. So it's natural, you know, if you grow up in a community where the standard is that I bring something more interesting to me than my sitter to shul, because, you know, the sitter is not too interesting. So you come to camp, you're going to bring your comic books, and you're going to bring your Sports Illustrated to shul also, because it's just more inspiring than the sitter is inspiring for you. But at the same time, in a certain sense, it's coming from a mistake. We think that you hand out a sitter when you show up to shul because tefillah is supposed to be something that inspires me from the outside in. I feel like I'm supposed to show up to shul and the inspiration is just supposed to come at me from the walls, from the Aron Kodesh. I'm supposed to be inspired. And if I don't feel that, if the sitter doesn't interest me and the sitter's not providing that inspiration, so I might as well bring something else to replace that that's going to be more inspiring. But the truth is, it's just the opposite. Tefillah is something that in truth has to come from the inside out. I can't pick up a sitter and expect the inspiration to come into me. I need to start with the inspiration inside. And that's very, very difficult. I was talking to kids who are 25 years younger than me. And to say that to someone, it's really difficult, because what you're really saying is, and I said this to them, davening for you right now is just so that you're not rusty, so you don't lose the hang of it, so you're familiar with the word and you get what's going on, so that many, many years later, if you stick with it, after you've had a lot of time and a lot of personal experiences in your life, ultimately, I'm convincing you and I'm hoping and I'm promising you that you'll later have the inspiration inside of you, so you're going to want the sitter there, because the sitter will be what happens after the inspiration starts inside. I discussed that for a little bit, and afterwards, someone came over to me who was older than me, who was like a father, or, you know, the husband of one of the people who works in the camp, who comes up for Shabbos, and he says, you know what you said is so true, because like my own Rebbe told me, this guy, I don't know, must be in his 50s, he said, my Rebbe said to me once, you can't really daven until you're 30. Can't daven until you're 30. And I chuckled a little bit. I was over 30 at the time, but he's right. He's right. It's not a coincidence. In the halachas of the Yom Noraim, when you have to choose a chazan, you're supposed to choose someone with a long beard, you're supposed to choose someone with children, you're supposed to choose someone who's over 30 years old. Why? Because life experiences, responsibilities that you may have when you're 30 years old, they allow you to tap into the power of tefillah in a way that you just can't, or most people can't, at a younger age and stage in life, where there's people looking out for them, there's people paying their bills, there's people who are more or less, you know, a 19, 20-year-old just doesn't have that much he needs to worry about. Sometimes, yes, school is stressful, relationships can be stressful, but it's not the same thing as knowing that you need to wake up in the morning, daven, go to work, and support your family. And there may be serious illnesses, chas v'shalom, relatives, people you're close with. Life in general is much more difficult. And tefillah is the first way that a person can try to approach it. Like we've said so many times before, prayer is not there to remind God of my suffering. The suffering is there to remind my prayer that there's a God. My communication with Hashem, when I feel like I'm not in control, when I'm really not in charge of my life, and I feel that because of things that I face, it brings out a whole new inspiration to my tefillah from inside. When I say, Hashem, I need to look to you. There's no atheist in the foxhole, as the saying goes. I need something outside of myself. I need to communicate with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I'm insufficient on my own. Sometimes we have moments of inspiration like that, even at a younger stage in life, but too often, especially if you're talking to kids in camp, they have no idea what you're talking about. So of course the magazines are going to be more interesting, but Aval Pichin, we need to trust the process that the sitter will mean so much more to you when you get to that point that the inspiration comes from the outside in. 5 minutes or both, say. When I was younger, maybe I've told you this before, I was a huge baseball fan. I liked hockey. I liked basketball. My friends were much more into those sports than they were than baseball because it has so much action, you know, the other sports. But I stuck with baseball nevertheless. I had a grandfather. Grandfather was a huge hockey fan. Loved the Rangers. He spent, I told you this, he spent the war years in Canada and he got into hockey there. Came to New York when he was reunited with his family and he loved hockey. I said to him one time, you know, like, come with me to a baseball game. He was never interested because compared to hockey, baseball game is, you know, how often do you have a good geschmack fight, you know, in a baseball game, right? So whatever, one time, you know, after making fun of me, he took me up on it. I went to a baseball game. And the game was talking pretty boring. The talking was a pretty boring game. But then, like, in the fifth inning or something like that, there was huge home run. And at that moment, it was momish 40,000 fans on their feet. And the energy in the stadium was so powerful. I've been to many hockey games. It's just not the same. A goal and a home run, they're just not the same. I don't know why that is. That's my own personal hargasha. But what he felt at that moment, he admitted to me at the end of the game, he said it was worth it for that home run. I understood what I was doing for the first five innings, as boring as it was, but I stuck it out. I had the patience and I caught the power of that moment in the game, even if it took a big lead up to get to that point. And I always look back to that as like a muscle for our lives. There's so many aspects of Yiddishkeit that I'm telling you right now, you will have a hard time connecting to them until you come to a later stage in life. But if you don't keep yourself, you don't keep the gears oiled, if you don't keep the machine moving, if you don't stay connected in whatever way you can, when those moments of inspiration come, you're not going to feel them in the full extent. And you may get a little taste of it, but you're going to wish like it meant more to you. But if you stick with it, I can say about my own davening this morning, I've been saying slichos for years and years and years. And slichos is so hard to understand. The words are not the normal words. They're, it's not even like the tefillos you say every day. But every year I have new understanding of slichos because I stuck with it every single year and new light comes to it. You see, after the Shema, as time goes on. So just like to bring it home, Rabosai. When we say, Masai Timloch B'tzion Hashem, when will you be the king? When will you finally come? What we're asking for and what that theme of so much of the Yom Ha'Ra'im tefillos that we add in, Hashem, when will that day come? Yimloch Hashem b'tzion that we're hoping for. It's because, again, lahavdil, you bring your grandfather to a baseball game and he never appreciated the game. You bring your friend to the game and he's always making fun of you. Why do you like this so much, right? You want to be able to share with them the experience, but they're only going to feel it when they experience it. All of Klal Yisrael hopes that their mission and their purpose will not only be understood by their own personal, inside their neshama. Every one of us has a friend who's disconnected. Every one of us has a relative who's disconnected, who can't understand why we spend 4 hours a day in the base medrash, who can't understand why we go to davening, why we do mitzvahs. We all have people in our lives who don't get it. We're praying for the base hamigdash. We're praying for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's malchus to be returned, because we want them to have that moment at being at the game with us where finally that point of the game makes it clear. Oh, now I understand the geschmack. Now, so Davin HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reveal himself to the base tefillah Yikari L'chol HaAmen, that the whole world will understand what that means when Hashem is revealing himself to us. That Yiddishkeit is exciting. Yiddishkeit is geschmack. Yiddishkeit is like on your feet, 40,000 fans at the game, and better than that, and much more geschmack even than that. And that's what we're davening for. Keep that in mind in your tefillos and realize that when you have those moments of inspiration, daven that other people should have that those moments as well, so that their hisoris can come from the inside out instead of just waiting for the sitter to bring the inspiration from outside in. Have a wonderful day, Rabosai. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. Shkaya for Geshmak. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.